And I want to just, the first part of the outline, I'll just give you right quick. We're not going to elaborate at all, so you can have that, fill in the blanks. And this is something you might want to put aside somewhere and have it to refer to in the future if anything comes up on the subject of music. God's Word talks about music. That's the first point. And we pointed that out last week, and we made it clear. And letter A is there are more than 800 references to music in Scripture. More than 800 references to music. So therefore, music is evidently important to God. And then letter B, more than 200 commands or exhortations to sing. So letter A, 800 references to music. Letter B, more than 200 commands or exhortations to sing. The letter C, and we talked about this last week, God is His children's strength, salvation, and song. S-O-N-G, right in Scripture, it tells us. By the way, if you don't have a pen or pencil, I think there's some in the pew in front of you, perhaps. So He is our strength, our salvation, and our song, according to Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. And Dean sent me an email. I should have printed that out and brought it with me, Dean. But it's interesting. He did some research on this particular passage, this particular verse, and differentiated between the names of used for God in the original language. And I won't take time to elaborate on that, but it is an interesting study. The first Hebrew word used for God in Isaiah 12:2. Let me just comment, and Dean, you can, if you remember it, you'll remember it better than I because you did the research. Let me read it really quickly. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. And the first Hebrew word used for God has something of the connotation of God being, in a sense, outside us, almighty. Go ahead, Dean. Anything else? Okay, He's Almighty. He can do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay, which has more a connotation of internal, who He is in us. And so He can do for us, He is almighty, and He can be in us, including be our song. And my Jesus, the words for salvation, the same words for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Salvation is not in a church. It's not in ourselves. It's not in living a good life. It was purchased for us by the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary. As I told Mike a few moments ago back there, I said, there are many churches, only one Christ, and no church ever died on the cross for anybody. But so many people, when you talk to them about heaven, they talk about their church, or they talk about the things they have done or are doing, rather than what God can do. But I thought that was interesting. And I appreciate Dean's input on that. The letter D there, God's children can enjoy, and we discussed this, non-sacred music. And then I put, only to the glory of God, but only to the glory of God, based on 1 Corinthians 10:31. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or what's the next word? Whatsoever ye do all to the glory of God. And so I do believe there are certain styles in music that it would be very difficult for a believer to say, I'm going to listen to that to the glory of God, or I'm going to participate in that to the glory of God. And we're going to discuss some of that as we go along. but our music and all that about us are to be for God's glory, that does not in any way diminish our pleasure and our delight in the things that we can do. In fact, it enhances it. It makes it better. When behind, in the back of our minds, or maybe in the front of our minds, our foremost thought perhaps should be, I want to do all things for the glory of God. And so, Dorothy, when you cook the chicken and dumplings and the apple pie and so on for Danny, don't you think you did it for Danny, but can you not think of how much more exciting it would be that I'm going to do this for Danny to God's glory? See? And some of us have menial tasks that we don't really particularly enjoy, but thinking of doing them for God's glory, I think, adds delight to even the mundane. And music, of course, is a part of whatsoever. So, we as God's children can enjoy non-sacred music, but only to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Now we're going to go down to Roman numeral 2. The child of God must examine everything carefully. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 and 22. Two very short verses. Let's go there and take a look at those two verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And we're going to look at verses 21 and 22. Verse 21 says, prove all things. The word prove means check them out. Examine all things. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. The Greek here literally suggests from every form of evil. Every form of evil. And so God's word commands His children to examine everything carefully and to abstain from anything that even has the appearance of evil. And to me, that's an important thing for us to keep in mind. Pastor preaches often about the different things that we need to be careful about. And it's so easy for us to get involved in things that have the appearance of evil. And I believe it's appropriate and even necessary to refer in this, in our discussion here, to music. Evil's a rather strong word, don't you think? The very appearance of evil. Some people would say, well, I don't know. What do you think about that, the very appearance of evil? How can you tell the difference between something that is really clearly evil and something that just has the appearance of evil? And in the area of music, we have to go to style in music in order to understand. And background. There's so much involved in music, and we don't have time to go into the technical difficulties in the time that we have here, but there are people who are scholars in the field of music who understand music's power, its influence, and they would say that you should even use stronger terms. Letter A there under Roman numeral 2, the all things in this verse does include music, includes music. And then letter B, the world understands the power of music. The world understands the power of music probably better than many Christians. I believe that's the case. I know from my conversation with a number of people, and even having taught ministry of music on a seminary level, and having discussions with seminarians on the subject of music, there is somewhat an ignorance in many people about music and how we should stop and think about the music that we include in our lives. And we should analyze and prove it or examine it. Cyril Scott, a well-known British composer, writes in his book, Music, Its Secret Influence Throughout the Ages, that, and here's the quote, researchers have proved to us that not only emotional content, but the essence of the actual musical form tends to reproduce itself in human conduct. Now, that's a pretty strong statement. Let me read it again. Researchers have proved to us that not only emotional content, but the essence of the actual musical form tends to reproduce itself in human conduct. We got an email recently, and I should have reviewed that. It just came to mind. Many of you know who Tennessee Ernie Ford is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there is a clip of when he was a younger man, and he has a son who at that time looked to be 3 or 4 years old. And he did a TV thing for TV, and it was black and white. It was a Christmas program, and he was singing a song, and Where Shall I Send Thee? Is that the title? I think it is. Yeah. And the verse part of the song is just simple and straight, but you get to the chorus and it's highly rhythmic. And I'm going to send you two by two, da, 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 and the rhythm gets going and everything. And his little son sitting there beside him was just placid pretty much through the verses. But when the music changed, it got to the chorus, this was unrehearsed, that kid became so animated. His head was going like this and just grinning. And it's funny, it's entertaining. But it was a proof that the form of the music tends to reproduce itself in human conduct. Go ahead. Yeah. Are you all listening to this? Music does affect human conduct and emotion. No doubt about it. And I could give you more. I'm going to give you a little bit more on this subject here before we move on. But another thing, this happened in a counseling situation with me. I was talking with a young man who had a girlfriend who was expecting a baby, and they were not married. And they were dealing with the problem of that and the fact that what do? How do they handle it? And I asked this question. I called him by name and I said, what do you think, as much or more than anything else, might have caused you to step over the line and be immoral with your girlfriend? One word immediately came from his mouth. What was that word? That was it. He said, we were influenced by the music we were listening to. And I think I've shared with you in the past, I've got it here again, just in Robert Shaw, who was the director of the Atlanta Symphony and Chorus, one of the outstanding choral directors and orchestral and choral directors of our time, and not a believer, by the way, as far as anybody knows. And he makes an interesting statement about rock music. He then gave a brief description of rock music and offered a rather graphic analogy of what the music portrays. Somewhat startled by his candid remarks, I commented, "So you think the music is very sensual?" He reacted quickly with, "It's perverse." He said, "It's perverse." And this writer goes on to say, "In a day when the majority of the dialogue sermons, Christian magazines, articles, and books addressing this foundational music controversy forcefully and boldly proclaim music is neutral, it is noteworthy to hear that perhaps the greatest secular choral conductor of the 20th century takes a view which is totally opposite to Christian mainstream thinking." I thought that interesting. And what a lot of people say is, well, if you put good words to it, that changes it. It does not change the music. That's the thing we have to be aware of. Words do not change music. The music stays the same. It still tends to reproduce itself in human conduct, whether it's about Jesus or about anything else, you know. It still has an effect on conduct. Someone has written this: if music form, not the lyrics, influences the individual's conduct, then the previous scripture verse is correctly applied. The verse we've just shared with you. Prove all things. Other experts in the field are even more specific. David Tame, in his book, The Secret Power of Music, suggests that the prime difference between classical and 20th century music is, and I think this is interesting, I mean, he's talking about classical and 20th century music. Classical music is pre-20th century, mostly. And he says that the prime difference between classical and 20th century music is the spiritual level of the two. The spiritual level of the two. Does music have a spiritual level? I wondered about that. I think it does. I think every music and every type of music, and I don't know how to put it on a scale, but I do believe that we, as we listen to music, we have at least a subliminal feeling that that's good. That music is wholesome. Or, man, that's, I don't care for that. That's not so good. We don't understand how we're feeling about it, but we can. It does have a spiritual level. Go ahead. Sure. Yeah, you all know this, don't you? If you watch a movie, the music will tell you what's coming. Yeah, if you take the music out, it's kind of ho-hum in a way. And I don't watch many movies, by the way, but occasionally. And even some of the good, wholesome movies, they have a musical score that supports the theme and emphasizes the drama. If it's supposed to be a peaceful scene, they play peaceful music. If they're getting ready for something horrific to happen, there is a buildup in the music that affects you emotionally and intensifies your emotional response to what's going on in the movie. So music, people outside of Christianity understand the power of music, okay? Okay, I got hands up here and there. Okay, Don and then Sarah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, Sarah? Uh-huh. Sure. And there's much more on that subject and many quotes that we can give of people who understand the power of music. But there are people who argue that music is music and it's neither bad nor good and there's no such thing as bad music. Here's a quote from David Tame from his book, The Secret Power of Music. And it's under the section titled Music Molds Character. He states, "Who can doubt that music influences our emotions? It is surely true that music is only listened to in the first place because it makes us feel something. But now, this is very interesting. For if music gives us feelings, then these feelings of uplift, joy, energy, melancholy, violence, sensuality, calm, devotion, and so forth can certainly be said to be experiences. And the experiences which we have in life are a vitally important factor in the molding of our character." And so music has the capability, to some degree at least, of molding character, because character is molded by experiences and music is an experience. Here's another thought. Two music therapists, Shelley Catch and Carol Merle Fishman, who wrote The Music Within You, echo the sentiments of Mr. Tame. They say, "We hear sounds with our ears, we read musical scores with our eyes, we experience tones with our hearts." And then Tame goes on and says this, "Music is an experience. Experience molds about a third of our character, judging by psychological studies. Therefore, some portion of this proportion of our character traits is a result of music we hear." And I say all that just to say music is certainly should be included in the all things, improve all things. But many of us as Christians think we don't think about music. It's just there. There's some we like, some we don't like. Some we like better than others. And so on, and we just, oh, well, whatever turns you on, whatever floats your boat, you know, if you like it, fine, that's all that matters. It's a matter of preference and taste. I do not think a person who is a believer should have that attitude toward music. I think a person who is a believer in Christ should say, that is included in all things, and that is something I need to prove. I need to do some study on the subject of music so that I can do what Paul says to do in 1 Corinthians 14:15. He said, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding also." And the very next phrase is, "I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also." And so he puts them in the same category. Letter C under Roman numeral 2. The message of the music is in its style. The most popular music style today is rock and roll. And that's a statement that's been made by somebody whom I think is probably knowledgeable enough to know that overall, the music that is best loved and most used in our culture here in the United States now is rock and roll. And many of us don't realize it, how much it's used. We hear it in the stores, we hear it wherever we go. And now we want to think a little bit. Let me go back to my outline. A discussion on styles. There's a book that I've read two or three times and that I appreciate greatly. It's entitled A Philosophy of Church Music. It's by Robert Berglund, and he discusses style. And I want to read a little bit of what he wrote. It's excellent. I don't know how far to go, just thinking here. Okay, I'm going to read some of this. It becomes apparent that music that can be categorized must have distinguishing characteristics that, when heard by the listener, may be recognized. The characteristics thus identifiable are referred to as style, idiom, or currently, the sound. Now, the word sound means something to most of you, doesn't it? Can you put the word sound with a location? Pardon? No, a location. Yeah, uh-huh. I've heard people use it of New Orleans. I've even heard people say the Kansas City sound. Now, I don't know what the Kansas City sound is. I don't study that particular type of music. But they, and then there's the Cajun sound. There's the various and sundry sounds. That's a synonym for style or idiom or type, you could even say. Style in music is what the musician studies in an endeavor to produce accuracy in performance. The identifiable characteristics that make a Beethoven symphony sound different from a Brahms symphony or acid rock different from folk rock is style. Style is the way in which elements, melody, harmony, and rhythm of music are combined. That's style. So the way you put the notes together and the chordal structure underneath the notes and the rhythmic patterns that you use are the components that make music have a certain style. And so it's interesting when we understand that. Musicians deal with two areas of style, composer style and performance style. And in the area of the music that we want to examine for the church, we need to look at both composer style and performer style, performance style. And I want to be really careful. By the way, it is for me, I will not get into an argument with somebody over music. I just refuse. I think it's wrong. I won't argue. And I give people the right to have a different opinion without looking down on them or being critical of them. I've gotten some emails. I sent out an email this past week, sort of a survey. I have a list of about 85 people that I communicate with in email, and I sent them some material on music and also a link to a website where there's some things about music, and I just said, any of you who have the time, I'd like some feedback. And I've gotten it back. It's been interesting. And one person in particular, I think he kind of knows the position that I take, and the email came back rather argumentative and critical and so on of people that he says are, maybe he would call them religious snobs, you know, because they have a certain style of music and they look down on people who have other styles of music. I don't want to be a religious snob. And I would not look down on somebody who doesn't agree with me. But I would ask them very kindly to respect the privilege that I have to study God's Word and make my choices concerning music based on not my feelings or what I like, but on what the principles of the Word of God teach. That's the most important thing for us to do. Not just in music, folks, but everything. Pastor occasionally mentions the way we dress. And it's extremely important that a believer who represents the God who created him and sent his son to die for him dress in a way that complements the character of his Redeemer. The same is true in our music and in other choices, our entertainment choices. And I say the way we keep our yard. If you have a junky yard and you don't give out tracts, do you get your yard cleaned up and look nice? That may sound harsh, but I think, is it harsh? Oh, you, okay. I said that may sound harsh and his head was gone. But you know, really our testimony and our choices, we need to prove all things and do all things for the glory of God. I got to stop in a few minutes, so I'm not going to get through if I take too much time there. Let's go on. The new life, new song principle, Roman numeral 3. And I'm not going to be able to get through this completely, but let's go to a very familiar verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Somebody can quote it, I'm sure. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The new life. The new man. New. There is a new life, new song principle that we need to think about and apply. And when I say new life and new song principle, I'm not referring to something that happened yesterday or today, for instance, concerning, I have the new life, but I've been saved 65 years. I trust the Lord as an 8-year-old boy. But I have the new life, and I have a new song. And the new life and the new song are in contrast to the old life and old song. And the old life and the old song for me as an 8-year-old boy wasn't much different after I got saved than it was before I got saved. So what in the world am I talking about when I talk about new life and new song principle? Let's go back to the book of Psalms and look at Psalm 40, verses 1, 2, and 3. Psalm 40, 1 through 3. This is a psalm of David. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The psalmist said he cried unto the Lord. The Lord brought him up out of a horrible pit. Actually, the word there for horrible pit could be accurately translated a pit of noise. N-O-I-S-E. Not just horrible pit, but a pit of noise. In the original language, that's really literally what it says. He has brought me out of a pit of noise, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth. Under Roman numeral 3, we have the new song, new life principle. Letter A, the new is in contrast to the old. Number 1, under A, Christ, his life, his word, his way are the new. Satan, his lies, his world, his ways are the old. And for the believer, the new is in contrast to the old. And that does not mean in the realm of music that we have to have music that is newly written for it to be classified new. The new in this context is not a reference to how old something is. It is contrasting what we have in Christ to what those who do not have Christ have. That's the old. What we have in Christ is the new. What God has given us is a song that He has put within our mouths, in contrast to the song of the pit of noise, out of the horrible pit, the pit of noise. Letter B, the new is acceptable to the Lord. Let's go to Ephesians 5, verses 10 and 11 right quick. I'm going to stop here. I'm going to try to stop earlier today. I tend to go too long. Ephesians 5, verses 10 and 11. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. We could put that in context. New and old. Go back to verse 8. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness. That's old. But now are ye light. That's new. Walk in the light. Ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, that's the old, but rather reprove them. And in my opinion, and I'm not being mean here, I love folks, but in my opinion, there are many people who have invited the old into the context of the church through music. Someone has said Satan has tried for years to find a way to get into and disturb the church through the front door, but he has found a wonderful back door entrance through music. And music is being used in many churches, not by God, but by Satan, who had music built into him, as we discussed last week. So, the new is acceptable to the Lord. Letter number one, it reflects the character of the Lord. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Number two, it should have no appearance of evil. We've already referred to 1 Thessalonians 5:22, where it tells us we to abstain from the very appearance of evil. And number three, it requires resistance to the old. That is, the new is acceptable to the Lord, it reflects the character of the Lord, it has no appearance of evil, and it requires resistance of the old. Look at 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. Those verses read this way. Be sober, be vigilant. We said prove all things, didn't we? Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, who has music built into him, according to Isaiah and Ezekiel, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. And remember, we said the old is representative of the devil. The new is representative of Christ. He says, whom resist in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So, the old has to be resisted. Go to Colossians 2:8 right quick. Colossians 2:8. And this verse reads this way. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. When we talk about the old and the new, we're not talking about old songs like Luther's hymn and all of that, no. Luther's hymn is new. The old songs really are new because they are a part of the new that is in Christ in contrast to the old that is of Satan. Now, the next point that I want to make, and I'm going to save it till next week because it's important and I need to elaborate and I've got other things to cover as well. So I'm going to stop right there. So we'll go to number 4 next Sunday. Okay? Sunday school's over.